Dave Duff is Duff, your bet. And last year, we were looking at we started the new Perek HaManeach, where someone leaves a jug in Rosh Hashanah. We talk about the fact that we try to understand why is it that if Bachar v'Nitkalbo, the person who trips into this jug and breaks it, his injury, obviously the person left there is in trouble, but why would he be Patra? And the first position that we saw, which was Rav and Shmuel, that they were saying that, well, a person's meant to look where they're walking, so, and if they smash this thing, why are they Patra from it? They broke someone else's stuff. People leave Sim Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like. And the answer was no, we're talking a situation with Mamaleh Kol Rosh Hashanah. Okay? When you filled up the whole Rosh Hashanah, there was nowhere for the person to go, and he had no way of getting through, and he broke it as he went through. Or the understanding which Shmuel says also maybe a Keren Zavit, where he sort of went around the corner, was there, and sort of surprised him in a location where he couldn't be prepared. That was a shita there. However, Rav says no. Afilu einu memaleh et kol Rosh Hashanah. Even if he doesn't fill up the whole Rosh Hashanah, he's still ipatur. You can take out the next line because it's going to be brought further on. Afilu einu natun al keren, even if it's not on the corner. Ein derech adam liot manichim b'Rosh Hashanah. The simple reading of the Gemara is it's not the way of people to leave things at Rosh Hashanah. So why is a person to be expected to look where he's going and therefore responsible to every step he's taking that he might not step on somebody else's objects? What's actually interesting here is the Shino Nuschaot on the side of mine says that it's Enadam Mavchin, because otherwise it seems like it's a Machlok Metziot. Is a way people to leave things in Rosh Hashanah or not leave things in Rosh Hashanah. Like it seems a machloket. Well, just let's look at a survey. Let's look at go to the city council and see if people do this type of thing. But by saying lavchin is even if people might leave stuff in Shusharabim, it's not the way of people to be conscious of these things when they're walking. Ah, that makes sense. And everyone agrees it might be there. But he's saying no, people aren't expected to be responsible when they're walking in the or traveling the street to necessarily they're driving every little plastic bag to be concerned. Maybe there's a thing, some apples sitting in there when they're driving. They don't want to drive over it. Mushroom cuz it, right? Now the Gemara says, what happened though? Okay, so the problem is, let's say the whole Rosh Hashanah is filled up, okay, and you're gonna want to move it. If you're going to actually simply do the moving by you picking it up and putting it down, you've created a Bor Rosh Hashanah. You've created an obstacle, and you'd be responsible for it. So. Which is interesting. Well, I remember hearing a story. I think Rabbi Haber was walking with Rav Scheinberg one time, and there was all this fruit scrout on the floor, and he was trying to cover for the Rav, and he sort of pushed it aside with his foot for him. And I think Rav Scheinberg said to him, if I'm not mistaken, the story says, "Uh-oh, now you're responsible for the fruit from the fruit cellar scout on the floor that you've moved aside." So they spent the next while cleaning up the whole mess as a result. Because otherwise, once you moved it, you're chayiv for the thing that's moved. So, in other words, the person doesn't want to move it because by moving it, they'll now be responsible for the whole thing. So, there's now, but what do we do now? What's a din? So, what's a din in this situation? Person with Rosh Hashanah. So, the question is what? There are two options. Do we say that he can Eliyitol a makel v'yishavrena? Can he just take a stick and smash it? Like, physically smash the some of the kelim. To break these jugs, these like earthenware jugs to make a path, so you can actively do something, or maybe not. Or nishba, or not. In other words, he can walk through; he's not responsible for damage. And if he walks through and it happens to break things, great, fine. But he can't go ahead and actually actively smash it. And now that's a machlok. In other words, does he have the right now to smash his way through, or no? Still doesn't have the right to smash. You minimize the damage that you're going to be doing. And okay, if it breaks, it breaks. But you just simply go through. That's kind of the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Well, Nishmini Mahani can learn from the following: Shor sha'ala al chaveiro, o ba bala shor lishmot et shelo." So one shor is coming on top of another shor, and the so-called victim shor owner wants to save it. If he slips that shor out from underneath the other shor, the attacking shor, let's call it that, and the attacking shor falls and dies, he's patur. He saves his own shore, his shmit. If, however, he takes something like pushes the other shore, actively actually does something more offensive, if you like, then manafal v'met, then we say chayav. Okay, so you see quite here, you saw quite clearly here the marafal says hachinami, so too. Ain lo li tol makel, therefore you can't take a stick and smash it, be a dime, elad simply avor alav. In other words, you can do things, certain things, but you can't, doesn't give you license to go and do, let's call it excessive damage or active damage, let's call it that. So, in what we're saying in this case, So, like, just go back to the case of Shor, because you're going to analyze it. Your Shor is going to be about to be like mounted, if you like, by another one. You can slip it out, but you can't start, you know, beating up the other Shor and doing it to save it. So Gemara says, well, 1 second, why can you even do that? Why can you even slip it out? Or did he do Yachil Meimar Le Ilu Shavak Davin Yayv Lechatzine? Sorry, I skipped a line. Sorry. In other words, that's a line I should have read. Sorry. That what could the owner of the attacking shore said? He said, why don't you go ahead and kill my shore? Even if you just slipped it down, slipped it away. I would have simply paid you, you should have left it and I would have compensated you for the damage. That didn't give you a right to destroy my shore. The Gemara says, no. He says, no. The victim could have said that no chance I'm going to let this your ox get away with killing it. I wanted to save from any damage because your ox might be a case of Karen. And I'd only get half compensation. I don't want to get half compensation, so for sure I'm going to schlep it out. The Gemara says, okay, what if they're attacking Shor Zemuah? So again, why can't the attacking Shor owner said, why'd you kill my Shor? You should have left it, then I would have compensated you. So Gemara again says, no, still, lo kol mimach esheye machzerim chal al batei dinim. The victim could say that I'm not going to be silly here. You can't compel me now to come to beat in to sort out the matter. I have full right to save my ox from getting damaged. So that's why you could slice, if you like, pull it out. And then, even the cost of the sort of the attacking Shor's life. Okay, important. Let's continue. Let's say you leave your, again, someone, you leave your chavit, your barrel, if you like, in Rosh Hasharabim. Ubah here and someone else place one near it, smuchala. Now, ubah rishon litolet shalom, the first guy wants to come and take his back. Imit leno, but the only way to, in other words, you can imagine that, you know, significantly large ones, and he's only access to save, sorry, he has no access to take his own barrel out of the way of Rosh Hasharabim because the other one's blocking it. So, once again, im yitlena mikan, if you actually remove the other person's barrel, then you'll be responsible because it's still Rosh Hasharabim. Same question. Im yitlena mikan, v'yitnena mikan, naseh bor. Eli tolet amakel, what do you do? Can you take a stick and smash the first person's one? Or yavor aleya, or you can simply walk past and if it happens to break, v'nishbara nishbara. Same, exact same question, really. So a little bit scenario slightly different. Now, the Marafulda points out we're bringing proof from a different source, even though we could have brought it from the earlier one, because this source will lead us to another discussion as well. So Gemara says, Nishmin Adel can learn from the following. Shor sha'ala b'chavero, u'ba bala shor v'shamto mitachtav. Now, here we're adding extra few words. Im ad shelo ala shamto v'nafal u'met pator. V'im dachahu, then v'nafal v'met Chayev. What's the difference? Again, simple one is, once again, if you push it off with your hands physically, you'd be chayev. But the difference, the slight nuanced difference here is, it says if you pulled it away before the attacking Shor fully, if you like, mounted it and fully intact, then that's when you're patur. Mashma what? That if it was actually already in attack, like on top of it, then you couldn't even pull it away. Okay, that's a slight difference. In any event, at this stage, before we pick up on that change, once again, we see quite clear that you can't come and smash it. You can only just walk through to get your barrel. And if it breaks, present it. Now the Gemara says, but from this case, we're learning din of what's called a matzil mamono mimamu chavero. You're trying to save your own money at the expense of somebody else. But what we just saw here is that there's a difference if you're, in the case of this ox, if the ox is already on top, the attacking ox is already engaged in causing the damage, or when it has not yet. That's a different we haven't seen yet. But that's going to be important because it explains. The Tishma Mina, we can learn from this. Ra'a amata maim shotefet. If you see a stream, a flooding stream on its way down, like one of these flash floods. Ubala toch sadeu, and it's going to come into your field and going to destroy your things. Ad shelo nichnas lam hamaim, prior to the water coming into your field, l'toch sadeu, rashay lifnot lemakom, you can put up sandbags, you can put up whatever you like. Right, you can redirect dig some sort of hole, and the water's going to go elsewhere. Now, this water going elsewhere is going to go into somebody else's field, isn't it? It's going to go damage somebody else. Mishinichnasu, however, once it's in your field, you can't start redirecting it out to somebody else. That's again the difference between the straw before it's engaged and actually attacking, like actually causing damage, and not. So read the Bnei Moshe, just make it super clear. So Shema Mina Mahai Breita, Diyesh Chiluk B'Metzilat Shelo B'Bishel Chaveiro. There's a difference between when you're trying to save your own property at the expense of somebody else, whether in Kfar Ba'e Hezek Al Shelo, whether the damage has already started hitting you, Rotzo Levricho, and you want to sort of deflect it. That then you're chayav. Aval im adain lo igia ezek elav. If the damage hasn't got you there yet, umatzel samoshel chaveiro, and you're deflecting the potential danger that's on its way, ends up ultimately causing some other loss to somebody else. B'shalvo kadesh lo igia avselavah. Patur ya patur then. Kafilu megufa the brighter look from the brighter. So that's an important distinction. Okay, we're going to bring two other cases exactly like that. What's this? For example, Ahan Kreso Argira. Now, that's Hashem Azav Argira Shu Govala Melech, meaning there's some sort of V'omer Kodem Shebaha Mumunela Ir. There's some sort of like a tax collection of some sort. What happened is, Adelo Yeti Ahin Karisa Argira Shari Meimar Palan Avid Avidati Palan Avid Avidati. Okay? So let's just have a look. Let's go carefully through the Marful to understand it. It says as follows. Meaning, it's like a messenger of the king that wants a tribute. So the leader of the city can say before this, if you like, this messenger comes or this delegation comes, this region or this area, they're all poor people, they can't afford it. Okay? Now, what's going to happen? The king has a certain quota he needs to collect. So obviously, it's going to be taken from somewhere else. It says, Afagav, Shamelech machbid alecherim, Sharei ena melech nigra midoron oklum. He wants a particular tribute of a particular size. The shliach has got to meet his quota. So prior to it actually hitting the city, you can say, oh, this region is low income, these guys don't have any money. We're not worth your while coming to the city. Okay? Afa afilo hachi mutar. Just like the matamayim, before the stream hits this field. Aval imachar shaba mu'una, once mu'una is already there, shekvar chaldaron gamken lerushutam, that already he's arrived, he's there, and now the tribute collection is now there. In rashay la'asir mimeno v'latil, you can't start trying to deflect it. Again, because the hezek has already begun. Similarly, hadan, or ahen, achsenai, Paracha. Achzanai Paracha is a chel kesaromi, like a kechazara, like a Roman legion of some sort, I think. Okay. Once again, adlo before atun romai shari meshach dine. Meshachim is giving shochad to bribe him. Mindiyat, once he comes, then it's asur. So what are you talking about? What type of shochad we're talking about? Now, this is once again actually provide, I'll just show you here, the Kamar Fulda says, Mutar leten shocha kadei shiftor otam miletet lehem achsanya uparnasa. Meaning the troops come through, it's a responsibility of the surrounding cities to support them. That's how I understood it. So in other words, when they're on the way, you can bribe them to say, look, just avoid our city, give them whatever gold you can. And then obviously where they're going to go, they're going to have to go somewhere else because they're a traveling army. That you're allowed to do. It's going to be somebody else. That's why before it reaches you, then it's fine. However, once it's already there, the hezek started, then in other words, already reached the city, you can't say, okay, can you take the money and go somewhere else? Okay? Again, following the same pattern. Okay? What's the basis for that? Not 100% sure, but that's what's clearly what we're learning from the Breita above, right? In terms of whether the straw is actually caught sky quantum damage or not, that's what we're learning. Okay, let's continue. Hiniach avno brushos arabim. Let's say someone leaves a stone in the public domain. Ubarcher v'niach cheros nuchan. Someone puts a stone next to it or near it. Okay, it seems to be stone season. Ubarcher v'nitkal bazu v'nichpat bazu. So the second stone is what the person tripped on, and it fell and injured themselves on the first stone that was placed there. Okay, mi mechayev benizko. Harishon or Sheni, meaning the Rishon caused the trip. The Sheni, let's start again. The first stone in order caused the trip, and the second stone is what caused the damage. Actually, the the person injured himself on. He fell onto that second stone, which is placed by the first person, just to make things a bit more confusing. So who has to pay the damage? The Gemara says, well, let's have a look. Nishmina, look for the following case. Let's take an ox that pushed another ox, into another pit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you got, if you like, let's call it Keren, and you got Bor. So we say Bal Ashor Chayev Ubal HaBor Patur. The Bal Ashor is the one who caused the damage, meaning because that knocked it in, and Bal HaBor is Patur. So if you're going to understand like the first Shita, then it would be the second person who put the rock down that made this obstacle that caused the person to fall. They'd be Chayev. Rabbi Natan Omera says no. It depends. They should both, not really depends, they should both share responsibility. Now, this is like a little bit of work, because it initially makes sense. If it's Muad, if the Shor is known to do these type of things, then they share it 50-50, meaning the boar owner bears half the responsibility, he pays half. The ox owner bears half the responsibility, he pays half. However, the time, if it's a time, we only have to pay half damages. Now, what it says is, Amma Habor, well, Balabor, he pays Shtei Chalakim, as in two of four, so he pays half. Well, Balashor pays Revia, because he's only responsible for half the damage, and he pays Chatzin Nezek, so he only pays a quarter. That's what Gemara is saying now. So, what about the other quarter? The other quarter seems to be he's not getting compensated. So, therefore, Amar Achini says, No. Balabor, the Balabor pays three Chalakim. Ubalashor noten revia. Now you might think that's a bit unfair. I thought he's only responsible for half the damage, no? If we're sharing it evenly, yeah, if granted you're only chayv chatzin nezek the balashor because it's keren etam, but why should I fit the gap? And the answer is very simply, you do have to fit the gap. So let's show them the marafulda. He says, firstly, he's magia Rabbi Natan. Fine. Umafarish bavavli, explains based on the bavli. Mishum da amar le balashor le balabor. Ana torai bebircha ishkechite. My ox found your boar. Okay, ata katalte. Your boar is the one thing that ended up killing him. Umay de itli leshtol mi mahayech mishtalma. Umay de late leshtol mi mahayech mishtalmi mimcha. Whatever he can get paid from me, which is half of my half responsibility, and the rest should come from you. The Gemara's big share, Rabbi Yochanan, I think it is. In Daf Nun Gimel. Sorry, my mistake. Kivan shehabor lo asa ela palge hezeka. But once again, if the boar only was responsible half the damage, why is Ilam Yishalim, why should he pay more than half? Which is basically our question. She's thinking, masvarahu zu mishum de ishkache babori shalem yoter mi ma shehezek. What's his svara saying now that because he found your boar, you should pay more than half your contribution, if you say. So the answer is the teretz, his answer is, Shahu'il v'gamar hezek, because you completed the hezek, v'domei kemisha asaw, it's as if you did the full hezek. Okay, this is slightly different now. So it's not their equal contributors in the damage. You were gomer hezek, amrinan, and therefore, oh, there was another person who contributed to it. Okay, so it's not like our starting point is 50-50. Our starting point is 100% responsibility of the balabor. Someone else contributed. Okay, so deduct some of your compensation from whatever you can from the other person. That's what it is. Right? So if the balashor can pay half, fantastic. If he's only required to pay a quarter, then you can only deduct a quarter from your full responsibility as a balabor. That's how Rabbi Nechemi would explain it. Okay. Yafeh. Now, okay, so this next the next four lines I have in my Gemara at least is taken out by the Marafulda. Okay, now Gemara says, "Hiniach anav b'Rosh Hasharavim." Let's say you leave someone leaves a stone in Rosh Hasharavim. Well, ba ruach, and the wind comes along, v'hi frichato, and blew it away. But where did it blow it to? It must be a very strong wind, but it blew it into Rosh Hashayachid. Well, ba chel nitkabel, and then somebody else trips on it. Mahu, what's it in? Shichay benisko. Beautiful question. Meaning, I'll show you the Korban Eda. Marfulda, same location. You left your Rosh Hashanah, so you should be chayiv, no? Even though the Nezek was done Rosh Hashanah, maybe you should be chayiv. Do we say that because you put a bomb Rosh Hashanah, you created the chiyuv, and even though, yes, the wind moved it down to a different location, doesn't matter, you still be chayiv a bor. Even though now it's Rosh Hashanah. Or maybe not. Where did he put it down? He put it in Rishus Rabim. Did it cause damage there? No. El al ifrichata ruach, but it's the wind that moved it to another location, so it should be patur for that. Dulo dami l'shor she dachaveh or labo she chayev balashor she af agav she al yedei abor met hashor. In other words, that's different. You can't talk about the case the shore pushes the ox into the pit. Because there hata mabalekilu isik bedaim, you call direct damage. Mi'asha enken hacha grame ba'almahu. The wind blew it to another location. You put it there, the wind now blew it to another location. So even if, and therefore considered the fact that now it's causing damage in the location, that's grammar. It's like, it's too indirect. So that's the question. The question is, you created a hazard, you're chayev that hazard, Rishus Rabim. Now it's been blown, do we say it's still considered your responsibility, you're chayev or not? Left unanswered. Then it says, Hiniach Avno Rishus Rabim. What happens though, this is a different situation. You left your, again, as some sort of stone or something, this obstacle Rishus Rabim. Ubar Cher, and someone's running, flying through, you know, and he trips on it, and as he hits it, he tears Rishus Rabim. He knocks that obstacle you placed there, and it flies into somebody else, Rishus Yachid. Ubar Cher, and somebody else hurts themselves. Okay? Mao Shir Chayiv Benizko. Is a first person still Chayiv? So just to explain, let me just show you the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe says, if you want to say in the first case, the chiyuv mechayev, that when the wind blew it, you want to still say the person's chayev? If you want to say that, the kei vanda ruach mafrichata akati bor b'rishus harachim, we still call b'rishus harachim. In other words, let's make the assumption you're chayev in the first case, with the wind blew it. Hachamai, what's the case now? Mi amran kiv da adam hu sheikh zira l'rishuto. Because now, because it's a person who kicked it and moved it, and that person who did it, vaday miftar. Clearly he's going to be exempt, the person who tripped on it. Shari Nitkal, he tripped on this thing. Or Mach Mata, that's why it flicked up. Elade Kama Nami, maybe the first person should now be Patur, as opposed to when the wind blew it, would it be Chayev. Tavek Mo Hafsak, Shepaska Takalato. Your obstacle placed there, there's now a Hefsek, there's a break between the Takala, if you like, the obstacle you placed there, the hazard you placed there. Because Mikoach Acheru Shabarazeka, because now when it's in a different location, it was created by a completely different Koach, by a different person. Yes, he'll be Patur, the second person, there's no question. But maybe that now disconnects the first person from that this hazardous material. That's the question. Or maybe not. Or maybe not. Dilma Kati Mikoach Takalai Shinichol. Maybe because the hazard started with you and no one else has taken responsibility for the hazard, so it should continue. And that's kind of the question that's there. Both these questions, if you like, as the Pnei Moshe says, Veloif Shita, they're both left unanswered. Okay? Beseder. I think, we'll stop here.
Yeah, you could argue that whoever puts a chefetz in Rishut HaRabim,
yeah,
even if it's moved after that by a second person,
he should still be chayv. That's why it's a question. That's exactly why the question is.
Right. The ikar is that it's been put in the Rishut HaRabim, not that it's been moved.
Correct. So that's exactly the question. That's exactly the question in terms of, so it could still be chayv. That is why the question is left unanswered, because you could argue both ways.
But in that regard, in the anecdote of Rabbi Haber, they wouldn't have had to clean up.
No, because that's different. No, because there weren't nitkal in that situation. He started moving it. That's like the first Gemara. If you see an obstacle Rishus Rabim, and you actually move it, you picked it up and moved to another location, now you're fully responsible.
Even though you didn't put it there.
That was the first part of the Gemara. That's why we say that was the first part of the duff we did today. That if it's fully up there, otherwise you'd say, well, you can't smash it, you can't break it, just pick it up and move it. But we don't want to say pick it up and move, because if you pick it up and move, you're chayv for the hezek.
Won't you be chayv after you've stepped over it? If you've broken it, it's still
question. I'm assuming that when it's smashed, it's not as hazardous or something like that. I don't know. I don't know in that situation. You're right. I don't know. But if that's why it's very you've got to be careful. Like when you're on the street, I mean, that's the story of the Rav Haber. But like you're on the street and things are in your way, you sort of kick it to the side. Well, 1 second. Where do you kick it to? Is it, if someone else traps in it, you could be chayev, right?
You have to kick it all the way to so to speak a safer place.
Well, yeah. So it's not a hazard. Like pick up in a rubbish bin or. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Charles.